Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
We're so glad that you've joined us today. And today, at the time of this recording, we're recording at the Rockingham County Fair in the midst of Fair Week. So if you hear anything in the background, that's what's going on around us. And Pastor Margaret, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Yeah, I would love to introduce our guest. Yes, we are at the fair this week. I just want to say we've had the resting place, and so we've kind of been present here, and the community has been great. And there's someone that's joining us today that's always present and has been very involved at the Rockingham County Fair over the years. None other than Newport News City Girl, became farmer. People are going, I know who that is. Married to a farmer and has farmer boys. Lauren Arbogast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for that amazing introduction. Very accurate introduction.
And when she said had farm boys, I'm thinking you used to call them little farmers, but you can't call them little farmers
they
anymore.
Are no longer mini farmers because they are large and in charge. Yes.
Yes, they've grown into quite the handsome young men, and they're very involved in this community as well.
Yes.
Lauren, you've been involved here, and really, as I was thinking about having you on, I was thinking about just the community aspect, and you show up at a lot of places in the community. You're engaged and involved, and I just want to talk about that today, just your heart behind that, and then maybe we can talk about the good and the bad of community when we come together, you know? We're here to bring hope, but we want to bring hope that's real,
yeah.
And we want to be honest.
Right.
In how it is to engage community, the good and the bad of that. So God can use it all for his glory, but I'm looking forward to this conversation. So talk to us a little bit, just you're involved in a lot of different aspects of community. I know that you have a great heart for the community, so talk to us about that.
Yeah, so like you mentioned in your intro, I am involved in the agriculture community up here. Got involved in the Rockingham County Fair probably about a decade ago, stepped onto the board and served 6 years on the board here, and then have remained involved through committees and different things. And then also simultaneous to that happening, our children were involved in 4-H and FFA, and so they're showing animals here at the fair. And so it's been kind of this a jump, I guess you could say, into the county fair community with our family and with my involvement. And with that, it's been really neat to see how this community, specifically how Rockingham County, comes together around this county fair. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that the average fairgoer doesn't know about. So there's that background community, and then there's the big community, like what we're surrounded with today, that comes together. So there's that community. I'm also a local teacher, and so I'm involved in education circles around here. Also involved in the local church, and so the community around that. A friend the other day called me a chameleon. I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or not a compliment, but she said it in a positive way to say that, you know, you have all these different circles that you're involved in, and because of your background, being from Newport News and being in a diverse area there, she said, it gives you kind of the edge, the advantage to go into different spaces with an open mind and step into those communities, build bridges, and just see things from a different perspective.
Yeah. You have a well-rounded view from the city to the country type of perspective, and it's powerful. God's used all of that for you to become who you are.
Yes.
In the conversation of community, you talked about the good and the bad, Pastor Margaret, and we call this program Hope Talks. Well, we might be able to see hope in the good, but we need hope in the bad. We need to see hope in the bad. So, it's important to acknowledge that in community, it's not always easy. It can be difficult. And we need not to give up on community in the hard times.
Yeah, and it's, I can only imagine, let's just focus here for a minute at the fair. You hear there's so much going on right now. there. And the thing I love about the Rockingham County Fair is that it draws all communities. And today is senior day, right?
Sunshine and seniors.
Sunshine and seniors. And so I am watching as this community is around us. They're pushing people in wheelchairs, and there's kids in strollers, and like there's all ages here today. And today is an opportunity to give people that don't normally get a chance to get out, to be in this community. And that is what so impacted me with the county fair and being here at the resting place. What I've noticed, Lauren, where we were once set up, we had a very different view of the community because we were over with the rides.
And you were only about like 100 feet away from where you currently are.
Right.
Now, but that gave you a totally different
perspective. So now we're up here next to the tent where they're doing concerts. Yeah. And so we're getting concert goers. It's just a whole different group of people that we see here than we saw down there. And you go to the barn and you have your vendors. And like the fair is a place that brings... Everybody has something that they can come here and be a part of.
And I think all of us have that, whether we acknowledge it or step into it or we don't. And I think that there is value. I've learned as I've gotten older, like there's value in every single community that I'm involved in. And I can still be me in every single community and bring what God has gifted me to bring to that community. But I had to realize that and step into that.
Yes.
Because we can be very comfortable and stay in our home family community, our home church community, our bubble, our silo, wherever we're most comfortable. And comfort is the great lie of the enemy. I do believe I heard your father say often, Grayson, and like, that's not a place where we're stretched. And so do I often, when I first stepped into the fair community, I felt like a complete outsider because I did not grow up in this community. I did not grow up showing animals at the barn or anything. I came up here occasionally for rides, but I wasn't a part of it. And it took several years, and it is still, it's a growing point for me because there's spaces that I don't understand and that I just don't get here in the Rockingham County Fair that I'm talking, you know, that we're here in today. But it takes me saying, okay, I'm going to be uncomfortable and I'm going to step out and I'm going to try this, or I'm going to step into this conversation, or I'm going to say, can you show me how to do this in this department? And without that, we stay stuck and stay in our silos, and that's not where God wants us to be.
I think with what you're saying is a lot of times we'll have our thoughts about something we don't understand. We put a wall up. And Pastor Adrian said something to me a long time ago, and it just rings true even in this conversation. It was to our pastoral staff. You know, we all get along, right? We have different ways to do things, and different in unity that can look, you know, interesting, right? Like when you get into this big of an area, it's even more interesting, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Adrian said some of you all just need to walk across the hall and have a conversation with someone, instead of believing that you know what they're thinking. And that has helped me so much, not just working as a team at the church, but in life when we don't understand something. And I think that's what you're saying, is ask questions. And we have to ask questions to learn and to understand, not so much to try to change anybody's thinking, but to understand where that thought process,
who they are and where they come from too, because we're all incredibly different, and it doesn't matter where we are, whether we're a believer or an unbeliever, where we are on our walk with Christ, like we are all so different. But I can't look at you guys and assume things. I have to ask you, how do you feel about this, or what, how does this impact you, or I don't know. And so I think as we get older and wiser, we learn. Some of us are better at that than others, but I think it's a valuable point.
And in community is where we're challenged, and we can go to church and we can go to Bible study and we can learn all these things, and we go, man, that was good, that was a good message, man, wasn't life group good last night? And no matter where we go to church, right? But until we are in community, and that gets
living
tested,
living it
is where we where we go, wait a minute. I had something not too long ago that I was in community and realized that there was something that came up in me that wasn't great. And I had to look into that. And you know, that can happen as believers. Doesn't mean we're immune to being hurt or
maybe sometimes hurting someone else in an impulse. Mm-hmm. But we have an obligation as believers in Christ and those that are supposed to light the way and be light, be salt and light in the community. Sometimes going back and saying that, hey, I responded wrong, I'm sorry, we'll do more to bring more community together than if we'd have stayed home, mm-hmm. you know, and never been challenged
in the comfort.
Yeah.
I was reading through, I've been in John 15 lately, and, you know, the vine and the branches. Mm-hmm. That's like a, it's pretty popular part of scripture, but I was struck by how many times in that passage, it's like 11 times or something, just in the first paragraph, that he says, remain in me.
Yes.
Remain in me. And I think for us as believers, it is incredibly important that when it's dark, when it's heavy, I mean, in different seasons and scenarios, you go, what is happening around me with community? It's falling apart. It's, am I doing any good? What is my place here? And I think we've all like looked around and seen that at different times. But Jesus says, remain in me. So it's your time away. And we can take, you know, note from Jesus' own ministry. Like after he fed the 5,000, he went up on a mountainside to pray and sent his disciples on. Like you have to step back and you have to reflect and revive yourself before you step back into community. Or we're not very useful if we don't reflect and revive.
Well, if we don't do that, then we harm community. And really, our reputation is a believer.
Yeah.
I was in a grumbly place the other day, and a friend of mine texted me. And I was sitting on my couch, out, you know, having devotions in the morning. But I was just, like God said to the Israelites, they're grumbling, they're stiff-necked. And I always go, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to look around and base my life on what is happening here. But God said to look up, and they didn't. And they ended up in exile.
Yeah.
His kids.
Yeah.
His kids. Yeah. I mean, he cares that we act right.
Yeah.
And so this is the text that a young 20-couple-year-old sent me. Well, she was praying for me from Spain, nonetheless. It's Psalm 130, 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. And that's where our hope is, right?
Yeah.
If we put hope in community and we want that to be perfect, we're going to be sorely disappointed.
Every day, all day.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah. I think of something my dad said before. If we put our, I don't know if he used the word hope, but essentially in people are going to let us down.
Absolutely.
Like the Lord is the only one that's...
That's the only
people
way,
are people.
That's the only way that the Lord can keep us in that rightful place, because
yeah.
it is all through Scripture from the beginning. God's people have always wanted something they could see to be their idol, a golden calf. They wanted a king. They got a king. It was always something. They always wanted more. And God is calling us to be single-minded. To put our hope in him. It takes the pressure off of people around us and helps us to be more helps us to be present and not put our such high expectations on others, but put our expectations on God.
Yeah.
This week at the fair, how's it been? Has it just been all peachy keen?
No, and I say that with love, because I love this community and I love the fair, but the more that you get involved in anything, whatever that is in the community, whether it's your profession, your church, your volunteer activities, the deeper you sink into it, the more you see of it. And with seeing that comes challenges wherever you are in community.
So true.
And so I think for me, this is a very current and applicable lesson on community. And there are times that I've struggled this week. What is happening? Just watching the community around me and watching my interactions with the community. But I have to step back and I have to say, I'm responsible for me.
That's right.
Revival starts with me. Mm-hmm. I cannot do anything about Grace and you or Pastor Margaret. Mm-hmm. I cannot do anything about the person walking down beside me or this person over here. But it has been such a lesson of reflection for me this week to say, where is my heart?
Yeah.
What is the condition of my heart so that therefore when I take a step out of the camper in the morning or into the barns or over to the grandstand or come through the resting place or go through the rides, like what am I reflecting to those around me? Do others see Jesus in me? Or do they see someone in a rush or grumpy or well-intentioned but not present in community?
So, you know, and that's the beautiful thing is we've been as believers we've been given the Holy Spirit to live in us, that, and to wear us like a glove, right? That we're filled with, the Greek word is dunamai, right? It's in Colossians 1:20 maybe. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available for us.
In us.
Yeah. And we have to make space for that. That don't just come like snap your finger and never be with the Lord. Like Jesus, like we started out, he went away to be with the Father, and he did that. He modeled that for us.
Yeah.
He also modeled for us that there would be, and he told us there'd be suffering.
Yeah.
But I think about how he responded to it.
That's right where I was going.
Right.
Opened my Bible. So, but I went to Matthew 9 because when Jesus had done some healing and stuff, and then he was speaking, like Matthew captured this as part of Jesus' teaching when he said, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But right before that, Matthew noted that Jesus, talking about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I have a note out to the side. It says, do you feel compassion or contempt? And that is so easy. Both are so easy to do. In community, do we feel compassion or empathy or a relation to the people around us, or do we feel contempt and like a pushing away to them? And it could be because of a word that's said or an action that's done or a behavior or whatever. But what is my reaction? Is it compassion or contempt to those around me? And God is calling us to be a worker for the harvest and a harvest worker. I think about when we're harvesting on the farm or we're doing something at an end of a season on the farm, whether it's cattle or crops or whatever, you have to be engaged in that harvest and present and working, or it's not going to go so well for you or possibly even the whole harvest. You might affect the whole harvest of that crop, whatever that crop is.
Right.
But if you are there and present and compassionate and working together with others, it works better, you know, and that's what God's called us to do.
He wants us to have his perspective.
Yeah.
Man, it's so easy to get into our own.
Isn't it, though?
Right, yeah.
It's a human. We're so human.
We are so human, but we are called to a life in the Spirit, like you said, and to live a life that Jesus modeled for us and gives us plenty of examples through scriptures. And it's a continual dying to self, and none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
But do we take that time to say, hold up, I'm feeling a bit grumpy, I'm feeling a bit like contempt towards this, or I lost my compassion in this community. Yeah. It's up to us to step back, spend time with Jesus and just with the Spirit and say, I need this back. Yeah. God, heaven, help me.
Yeah.
Before we step back in.
Yeah. I am just thinking about a book that I've read many times and that has helped me more than any book that I have ever read other than scripture. But it's called The Bait of Satan. Mm. Because Satan is dying to get us offended. Like that's his whole game. If he can get us offended, then he drives wedges and just, he breaks relationships and we're ticked off at this person or that. And it's easy sometimes to go, well, I'm gonna go this way. I'm not gonna, maybe
avoid
I just,
it.
Yeah. And The Bait of Satan, John Bevere wrote that book, and it's in these moments whether we take the bait. I remember there was a family that was at our church, and they left, and they went to a church that was actually doing this Bible study. This is how I learned about the book. And sitting in that Bible study, they realized that they had left the church offended. So after they finished that Bible study, they actually came back to the church, engaged again, and then left without offense. I'll never forget that, because that was beautiful. Yeah. The healing in that.
Wow. That shows maturity as believers. They recognize that, came back to amend that. God says, if you're at the altar and you have a gift at the altar, but you realize that you got an offense against your brother, I'm sorry, I don't know the immediate scripture reference for that, but he says, go make amends, then come back to offer your sacrifice to the Lord, because that's a wedge, that's a wall between you and God.
Yeah.
And so us as believers, we have to do that as much as we can, as much as we are convicted by the Spirit. We're convicted by those believers around us that speak into our lives, yeah, and say, hey, I see this. This needs fixed. Like, lovingly, this needs, yeah, fixed with you before you step back into community, yeah, or with this relationship, yeah, or person. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, as y'all were talking, I was thinking about, Lauren, you're talking about we can have contempt or compassion. And if we feel like we're having contempt, we need to step back and examine and have the Lord examine us. And really the only way we can have his perspective on things is spend time in his word, spend time in prayer. Because if we're neglecting self-care, so to speak, our time with the Lord, then it's going to be hard for us to have compassion in those tough situations, yeah, that we encounter.
Absolutely. 100%, Grayson. And I think I'm going to maybe go on a little tangent. So
go for it.
But like in today's world, self-care is a hot topic.
Yeah.
It's common to hear in the workplace or in community spaces to take care of yourself. And I agree with the premise of that absolutely we have to keep ourselves full.
Yeah.
But what are we keeping full of?
Right.
What are we filling ourselves with? Yeah. Is it getting the exercise and nutrition and sleep and things that we, yeah, need that we absolutely should have to keep our bodies healthy? Or is it yoga or meditation? Some of these things are very well intentioned for self-care, but if you're not spending time with God, right, you're missing the mark, because he created each of us with a longing, that that longing is for him, and we can fill it with all the community activities that we want, or volunteer organizations, or checking boxes of church membership attendance.
Soul care,
yes, instead of self-care. That's a great conversion kit there. We have to have soul care if we are to be at all effective in our community. And I do just want to say, like, effective does not mean loud and showy. Effective is very often the behind the scenes, just being present where God has called you to be and doing the work there, the next right thing. If it's scrubbing toilets, if it's doing... having a conversation, if it's just affirming someone, it looks small. It often looks small, but leadership is not a title. Leadership, especially with believers, is the next right step.
Yeah, and it's a servant. It's a servant, yeah, leadership. And I just, the best thing I've gotten from Bucky's so far. Can we just bring that in?
I haven't been to Bucky's yet.
Well, I live a mile and a half from it, so it's easy to go get a brisket sandwich. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. They had a t-shirt. And it says, you can't throw stones while washing feet.
Bucky's had it.
Yes. I bought it. It's my new favorite. And so I decided to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, they got challenged. Jesus was like, well, let's just see how well you do. This is a test.
You're going to wear it on your t-shirt. We're going to make you prove it.
Yeah. It was a real challenge. But because I had the shirt on, it was a higher, I mean, I wasn't out just breaking out ugly or anything. It was more of an internal thing I was dealing with that had me in tears. But I realized, like, in this situation, Margaret, you're going to have to, like, this is a washing feet.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Jesus wants us to remember is,
yeah,
are you washing feet or are you throwing stones? Because you can't do both, yeah, at the same time.
I'm wearing a church shirt. It's an older church shirt. But on the back, as you were talking, I was thinking about this. On the back of my shirt, it says, love God, life together, light your world. Well, if you're going to love God and light your world, then you have to act like it. When you're wearing stuff that has scripture, has biblical undertones, maybe, as far as what you have to, well, yeah, you have to drive. Like, yeah. So it really, maybe it's a good thing to check us when we do that kind of thing. Oh, it's a good thing if we act like Jesus, like you were talking earlier.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing if we ignore it and just act like,
yeah,
you know.
You know, the Bible says, like, we're to shine like stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, one star, if you have a totally black night and you see one star, it's there, you can see it,
yeah,
you know, and you know it's making a difference with a little bit of light. But on those nights where it is cloudless and clear and dark sky and you see all of the stars, mm-hmm, shining, to me it's just a beautiful reminder of, like, if we are all shining our light for Jesus, it goes so much farther.
Oh, yeah.
In our community as a whole. I'll just say the community as a whole.
Just the, in my mind, the visual of that, being able to see all the stars, you know, when you don't have any light pollution,
mm-hmm,
and seeing the stars, how they light,
mm-hmm,
up at night, is just unbelievable. And that's the church.
That is, know, the church. That's our task.
Yeah.
How are we going to shine? And God called us to be here in community. Again, right. Not like the beginning we talk about silos. Can't do much good if you're staying in your right. own yeah. home or closet right. or there literally or physically.
yeah.
But we're called to be out, and that's going to be hard, but we're called to do it.
Yeah. Right. And I know, talking about silos and talking about at the beginning, we were talking about all the different people that come to the fair, whether it's the ride for the kids or whether it's concerts or whether it's you're showing an animal or whatever it might be. There's people from all walks of life here. And like Margaret mentioned when she introduced you, the city girl from Newport News who is now ingrained in the county and ingrained in the community and the fair.
Yeah. God has put all these experiences in my life for a reason. I don't doubt that for an instant. Growing up yeah. different places, teaching and doing different things with different communities, and you know, it all culminates. I wish we could see the tapestry that he sees.
Yeah. But we can't.
And you know, this side of heaven. But sometimes we catch glimpses down here on earth.
Yeah.
And it's really neat when we see those pieces come together.
I was thinking about our community. Like, I feel like Harrisonburg, Rockingham County area, like, you're not from here. I'm not from here. Pastor Margaret's from here. But I feel like it does, good and bad, I feel like it does a good job of people that move here get ingrained in the community no matter where they're from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This area does have a community feel, I guess. I've traveled a lot of different places, came from a different place, but it has a kind of an inherent community feel here.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw Elvis enter the building.
He literally did enter a building next to us in our community.
He's alive. So, anyway, back to...
In closing, Pastor Margaret and Lauren, any final thoughts on community and just anything that we haven't talked about already that you all would like to share?
I think I've hit everything that I had noted out today in community. Yeah, any further questions or... thoughts, Margaret?
I'll say one thing while you're thinking, Pastor Margaret. We were talking about hanging our head high and looking to the Lord. I was thinking of something my grandfather said one time. I think he told my dad this. I'm sure he told many people this, but if you're going to hang your head, hang it up so you can see the face of God.
We don't get much looking straight down.
Our own self and our own failures.
That's directly applicable to community, Grayson. Like, you know, if we're not looking up and around, we miss so much of what God puts right in our paths.
You know, it's been one thing that was really cool that happened last night. I just had really prayed that the Holy Spirit would just show me. And I'm sitting here thinking about that now and then reflecting on last night. I got into a conversation with someone who I just connected with recently, don't really know her well. And she was telling me about where her grandson is and what he's doing, and it's really hard. And she's like, would you pray for my grandson? I'm like, absolutely. And I said, let's pray. Yeah, I'll pray for him. She's saying, well, thank you for being willing to pray. I'm like, well, I'm going to pray now. And so we prayed, and she had a heart of gratitude for that, unexpected. And later, she came up to the resting place, and she goes, would you like to share a funnel cake with me? And
absolutely.
She said,
I hope your answer was absolutely.
And she said, and thank you so much for praying for my grandson. So I left there and I went the opposite direction and ran into a young man who's having surgery on Monday. He tore his knee all up. And he was telling me about it. And I just put my hand on his shoulder and started praying. And after I finished praying, he said, thank you for your boldness to pray here in the middle of everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But just thinking about the opportunities that we have, like he was encouraged. I was encouraged. I'm encouraged by his life and his story. Like I think I know I miss a lot of opportunities just to lean in a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And if we can, usually when people are really struggling and maybe there's hurtful things coming out of their mouth, they have things going on in their life that we have no idea.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're an easy target. And just leaning into those places more instead of less and asking more questions and really asking questions to understand better, I think will only draw a community closer.
Yep.
Well said. It's kind of like, maybe it's a cliche saying, but People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Yeah, that's that's exactly right.
Relationship is the driver. Yeah.
Relationship rules. I think somebody wrote a book about that.
Well,
also one about showing up.
Yeah.
Being present.
Yeah, somebody else had a part in that book.
Yeah, they did.
Read both. Highly recommend both of them. Yes.
Well, Lauren, thank you for joining Pastor Margaret and I on today's broadcast of Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. As you've heard Lauren Arbogast talk with Pastor Margaret and I today about community, we pray that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.